Heinz 57. Good morning. I was sitting with Pastor Hickson at the conference in Salem. Got to make sure this is the right sermon. I keep a bunch of sermons in my Bible just in case someone says, "Can you preach today?" I've had it happen a few times. But I was sitting next to Pastor Hickson. He turns and looks at me and he says, "Has Steve Benson called you?" And I said, "No, about?" He said, "Oh, well, he probably just hasn't time yet, but he'll call you. You're supposed to come to my church and preach one, two, three Sundays." I thought, man, there's a few people in this world that I don't like standing before and preaching, and Pastor Hickson is one of them. I don't know why. I mean, he's one of my favorite preachers, and I hardly knew him up until 2009 or something like that. And then I found out that you had a website, and sometime after that, and I was preaching through Acts in South Africa and thought, I'm going to go check and see what he's preaching through. And lo and behold, he had been through Acts sometime before that. And I still have some of the sermons in Acts titled with some of the things that he titled them. And as Steve talked about Acts chapter 3, something that I want to be reminded of. And I don't recall that Pastor Hickson actually titles sermons this particular way, but he said something in that sermon in Acts chapter 3 about about the power of a changed life, and that power of that man who had been from birth, from the womb, he had been lame, and he was healed that particular day. And he didn't just walk around and tell everybody, "Hey, I got healed." He was running and jumping and praising God. He was a new life in Christ. And all of those years, I kind of think through and try to get a picture of what's going on with that person having to be brought there and sat there by someone saying, "Hope you get a lot of money. See you in a little bit. We'll come back and get you later." And yet, Peter and John walked over and happened to be passing by in the sovereignty of God. And anyway, I just recall that changed. Come on, Cecil. And there's some power in an unchanged life too, isn't there? Just happens to be negative power. My. Anyway, I'm going to read today. I'm going to preach. I'm not going to unpack this a lot. I'm thinking of from the standpoint of most of my material today comes from a book called Evangelism for the Faint-Hearted. If you want to learn evangelism, I even have retitled it Evangelism for Dummies. You know, we have everything for dummies nowadays. I one time had a GPS for dummies. I'll never have a GPS for dummies again. It was really for dummies. Anyway, it just wasn't what we thought it was going to be. But Evangelism for the Faint-Hearted by Floyd Schneider. And there's just, again, what I'm going to talk about today comes from that book. And he just really lays it out so simple, so easy, it seems, as you read through. It's 15, 16 chapters. It's 150 pages, something like that. It isn't a real big book, and you can still find it. You can get it on Kindle. That's where I have it now. I have two copies in South Africa. I don't know why I didn't bring one with me, but I went to look for it, and I thought, it's the only place I have it on my little. Now, see, I have a big phone nowadays, and there's a watch up here. Has that always been here? Okay. I was gonna say. Somebody leave your watch. Okay. Oh, it's for me. So I need to be done by 10 till. Oh, yeah. I live with someone that has to have a watch that's fast. I don't get it. I would still be late if that's what I... Anyway, moving on. My wife is here, and I feel whole today because she's here with me. She was sick last week, and she had some other plans the week before. But anyway, Pastor Hickson has asked me to come back whenever he's here, and it'll probably be a long time before I agree to do that. But I'm going to do it. I've got to do that. Uh, you, Do all of you know George Zeller? You know George Zeller well. Do you know his pastor, George Parsons? The most intense human being I have ever known. He's 80-something now. And, you know, in Connecticut, Middletown, Connecticut, they get snow. And I asked one day, I said, how often do you cancel church? Never, brother. And then I realized he lives right there. Well, he doesn't have to cancel church. He said, a lot of people don't come, but this pastor's going to be there. And I just recall the first time I went to, we're traveling through, and I know several churches will tell you not to wear a tie. We don't want to see your tie. And so I will bring ties with me. And whenever we went to that conference the first time, that's nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just thinking of very intense people. And Pastor Hickson is not quite this same intensity. I don't mean to say that. He seems to be a much more gracious man. And I love George Parsons, a dear, lovely, wonderful man. And he and George Zeller have been able to get along very well for many, many years of ministry together. But I walked in there and I had, I had a sweater. I had a dress shirt. I had dress pants and I didn't have a tie. And when you walked up on the door, it said, if you're not dressed appropriately, men, that means a necktie, you need not apply here. Well, I drove 13 hours. I'm coming into this conference, and the first person I step through, and there's George Parsons. Hello, Pastor, brother. The next time I came, like, we're staying in one of their houses right there on the place. So I ran over quickly at the next break and I got myself a tie. He didn't say anything about my lack of a tie. He didn't say anything about the fact that I had a tie. But I just remember his intensity. He scared me to within an inch of my life. And maybe someday you'll go there. Anybody ever been to Middletown to the conferences they have? If you go there, he is an hour preacher. Doesn't matter what, he's going to preach an hour. He gives missionaries 2 minutes. 2 minutes. He told me I had 10 minutes total. He said, you can introduce your wife and your family. You can show your 6-minute video. And then whatever's left, you can preach. Wow. And then you know what he does when you sit down? He preaches for 15 or 20 minutes. So I made a comment to some folks, and they're like, well, you can't win with him. It's his church. What are you going to do? But anyway, just a very intense man. But I got to tell you, folks, that I love your pastor. I so enjoy his preaching. And most of what I've heard is something that you heard a long, long time ago. And so I'm glad that I'm able to go and look at that. 2 Timothy. I want to read 2 Timothy. I'm going to read all of those verses. And I want you to think about, from evangelism for the faint-hearted, something that I'm going to focus on today is relationships. I think about the fact that when I was born into this world, November 13th, 1959, at 9:30, I think, in the morning, something like that, when I came into this world, I was already a part of some relationships. I was a son of the woman that brought me into this world, the son of a father who was there as well. I was the baby brother for about 14 months, and then a baby sister came along and another baby brother, but at one time I was the baby brother. I was a grandchild. As a matter of fact, at the time, my dad has a picture I'm assuming that he still has this picture. I don't know. I haven't seen it for many, many years, but my great, great grandfather is holding me in a picture. In a picture, he's holding me like November 17th, 1959, something like that. And he didn't live the rest of the year. Sometime during that year, he passed away. And then his son, so it was two greats and one great, and then grand, yeah. So anyway, we're all in that picture, and I just have that old picture. And so anyway, I also was a great-great-grandson and a great-grandson, and you understand what I'm saying about all of this. And then later in my life, I became a husband for 41 years. Coming up, well, we're past 41. It's way in the rearview mirror now. We're looking at 42 sometime this year. And I know when that date is. I've only forgotten it once in my life. I forgot her birthday too one time. Walked into her mother's house, and her mother says, "Happy birthday." And I'm like, "That's what was different about today. That's why she's looked at me weird. Like, is there anything you need to say to me?" Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'm just thinking of the relationships that we're born to. Even though some of those, I've grown into a husband, a father, a grandfather. One of my favorite relationships now is being called Papaw and Baba. One group, one set of kids calls me Papaw. The other set calls me Baba because the oldest of the younger group couldn't say Papaw, and it came out Baba. So that's okay. I don't mind that. But that's one of my favorite relationships. And we are in all of those various relationships through most of our lives. And that doesn't even count the other relationships that we are. I'm an employee. I at one time was a supervisor. I was a truck driver for most of my life. So, there were times when I had different jobs that I did. But I was a co-worker. And you see all of these things. In so many of these situations, we are in the thinnest level of relationship. People see us. They know our name. Remember anybody who was in the military? I remember saying, well, I knew Jones, or I knew Thompson, or I knew this or that. Or what's his first name? They didn't have that on his shirt. All I know is his last name. And I served in the National Guard for 7 years, and there are several men that even today I can't tell you their first name. I knew them by a nickname. We had a guy named Ducky, and that's all I knew him by. I don't even recall his real name. I don't recall anything about him other than Ducky, and it's a story you have to ask me at some other time. I won't tell you that now, but he got that in Vietnam. But anyway, I just think about all of these relationships and how we build on these relationships and how we grow in these relationships and how we use these relationships for the glory of God. And some of these relationships, we are in relation with people who know the Lord. In some of these, we are in relation with people who do not know the Lord. Now, I come from the old KJV only, Ruckmanite. The KJV corrected the original. That's what I come from. I come from that place in my life, early in my Christian life. My pastor talked about that and harped on that, and I believed all of that for the longest time until someone handed me this other version. And if I'd have believed what they said, I would have looked at it as a perversion, because that's what they always called all of those other versions. And so I come from that place in my life, that fundamentalist place where we hated more than we loved. We were against more than we were for. And I remember that we were so separated, we couldn't mess with the world. We'd preach, have them come to church, but we wanted them to get their earrings out, their tattoos off, their suit and tie on, and then we'd bring them to church. And that's kind of the way that we did that for such a long time. When in fact, how many people did we chase away from church? How many people did we say? You remember what the Israelites saw when they came to the temple. What did they see? Oh, it's so nice that we have this beautiful, wonderful temple in our midst. We love having this, tabernacle. They may have said that about the temple, but this old tabernacle in the wilderness. We love having that. It smells so nice to have all of those dead animals and those animal skins hanging all over that. You know what it said? Keep out. That's really what it said, is keep out. Well, sadly enough, churches for so many years have had a sign that said, keep out. If you aren't A, B, C, D, E, don't come in this building. And not only that, but we took that little sign and hung it around our neck and walked around, and people looked at us and they didn't want what we have. What we have is what everybody needs. And if they don't get it, they're going to spend an eternity apart from God. And part of my first sermon two Sundays ago was talking about, should it be enough motivation? And it really should. Any of those things that I pointed out should be enough motivation for us. But as I think about that, I just realized that, is it enough motivation for me to preach the gospel to someone that's unsaved? I don't need to preach the gospel to someone who's saved, but to preach the gospel to someone who's unsaved because of where they're going to spend eternity. Because they're a soul. And that soul will be somewhere. And I might have an impact for Christ in that soul's life. Is my impact going to be one that brings them or that chases them away? Now, the Word of God will either bring you to it or chase you from it. But we need to let the Word of God do that, because that's His job. And the reason that is true is because there's only one way. And too many people say, oh no, there's got to be another way. That can't be the only way. Well, I hope you don't find out the hard way. Because the hard way is not having another way once you reach your eternity. And so I want to be challenged by this, and I want us to be challenged. As I read 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, all of the seconds in Scripture, all of the books that are number 2s, and the book of Jude, all speak pretty much in the same way. They all talk about false prophet, false gospel, false teaching. They want us, everyone, to know that that is going on. And it was going on back then. Beware, run away from, flee. Look at these people, mark them, and get away from them. You don't want them, or kick them out of your churches. And that's Cecil's paraphrase, but I'm just saying that that's what this is about. But in this particular case, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Paul is very personal whenever he talks to these men, Timothy and Titus and the other people that he speaks with. The Corinthians, he's very personal. And he said, straighten up! Stop doing what you're doing! You're such a talented... My paraphrase, you're such a talented, gifted bunch, and look at what you're doing. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I remember as a boy being afraid of a few things. I'm taller than my father now. He was 6'2". Whenever I was 16, I was taller than Dad. I remember telling my dad at one time, I said, I think I can whip you. 16 years old. Oh, no. My dad wasn't 40 yet, and I was going to whip him. He picked me up and bounced me off the couch, and I said, when I'm 17, I'm coming back. By the time I was 17, 18, 19, I realized I don't have a chance. But I remember walking beside my dad, and a German Shepherd is running at me. And I mean, I'm trying my best to climb in his pocket. And he said, son, Dad's here. It's all right. And my dad said, no. And that dog just ran away. And I thought, come here, dog. Come here. Just being so relaxed and knowing that my daddy was right there. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The generational teaching of the word here. I've taught you, you taught men, they'll teach others. And so on and so forth. And we need to be doing that and teaching that. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Again, Paul just works the gospel into all of his writings, and you don't have to look really hard to find that gospel and the fact that it's the resurrected Lord. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Father, I thank you again for this time. I pray that as you are here present with us and as you are working by the word, applying it to our sinful heart, showing us, Father, where we err, give us strength, give us wisdom. We thank you for the guidance that you'll give us. May our eyes be opened. May we be faithful to pray, to ask you for opportunities in the relationships that we have to proclaim the gospel. And Father, may we, as we pray for those things, may we study to show ourselves approved. May we apply these things to our lives so that we might live according to your will, so that others might be drawn to you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in Christ's name. Amen. Last week I talked about respond. Do you remember all the letters that I attached to that? R-E-S-P-O-N-D. He ran. He inquired. He sat. He pondered. He opened, and there's a couple of opens there. The P could maybe be pondered and prayed and so on and preached and whatever, but he opened the Word of God. He opened his mouth, but he really opened the Word of God. And then in, he named the name of Christ. So important that we name the name of Christ. If without him, we are of all people most miserable, without the resurrection, without Jesus Christ. And then depend on the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what he did, was depend upon the Holy Spirit. Today I'm going to give you another one. I want us to agree, A, pray, P, practice, P, listen, L, yield. Why? What is that word?
Apply.
We need to apply. I know all of you are English speakers. But we need to apply ourselves to a relationship. I am convinced that if there was some way that I could go back and erase, and phew, I'm going to get all emotional here, erase the first 7 years that I was married to this woman back here, I would, for her sake. Because it was not good for her. I had come to know Christ 2 years after we got married, and then for so many years, I just didn't think that I needed to do anything but sit and listen and let the Lord do the rest. He'll take care of all that other. I just didn't grow, because I thought anything I don't need to be doing, God will make clear. He'll get it away from me, yada, yada, yada. I was using tobacco. I'm so thankful that I think it was about 7 years. I have to think back and remember. But I'm pretty sure it was about 7 years that the Lord took that from me, and I'm so thankful that that's gone. I don't even, you know, for several years I missed it, sadly enough, for several years. But anyway, if I could erase that, I would. Why? Because it hurt our relationship. I am so thankful that she's still mine and I'm still hers. But our relationship required work, not just from her, but from both of us. It required us to give and give and give, and even take and take and take. And what? And I don't mean take from, but I mean take things that I ordinarily wouldn't take from just any old body, but I have to because I'm married to her. And I'm going to continue to take those and grow in grace and knowledge. But if I don't apply myself to that relationship, then that relationship will not work. If I do not apply myself Now, first of all, my relationship with Christ cannot change. I am His. He is mine. The relationship can't change. The fellowship can suffer if I am not applying myself, growing in grace and knowledge, living in such a way that I'm pleasing Him. Then there's going to be a problem with that. Now, again, I will never not be His child. I know you know that, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that. So agree, pray, practice, listen, and yield. We need to agree. Agree to what? What must we agree to? Agree with God. You remember, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, 1 John 1:9. That confess word there, what does that word mean? That I agree with God about how wicked I am. I'll never forget the first year at camp, Pastor Hickson stood and I heard him say, and I knew this, but it's just something to hear a man to me that, I mean, I've held him up way too high, and maybe some of you have as well, but he stood in front of those kids and said, in this head is a porn shop. Me and all of those kids sat there for a little bit, and then I'm like, you know, he's right, because I can look at me and say the same thing. And we have to agree that we need the Lord. I was on an airplane coming back from South Africa one time, and this guy just said to me, and I love this conversation when they start it. He said, so you're American, you're from North America. What are you doing on the plane from South Africa? And I said, I'm glad you asked. I'm a missionary to South Africa. I preach the gospel. How about you? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Nope. I said, you know, the world needs Jesus Christ, not me. I said, now let me just throw this at you. You don't need this airplane either, do you? Because you could just fly anywhere. Well, no, I need the airplane. Well, my friend, you need the Lord more than you need this airplane. Right now, you can't be where you are 40,000 feet in the air without this airplane. But there's a place you will not be. I don't even want to hear this. And I said, but just let's, you ask. I'm just telling. He stared holes through me for the rest of that flight. And he just happened to be in a place where he had to walk by me to get to the toilet. And he'd walk by me. I mean, it was almost like, you've been on an airplane. You hit people as you walk by if you're of any size. And, you know, you want to get through like that. But when we got off the airplane and we're going through customs, I couldn't look mean to him. I hurt for him. I prayed for him for a long time. I did get his name, but I have no idea. I've got it written somewhere. But I prayed for him for a long time. But we need to agree that people need the Lord. That is the first thing. Is that, can you prove that people need the Lord? Can you just real quick, like, can you prove to me that if you're going to tell an unsaved person, an unsaved loved one, someone that you met, just how do you prove to them that people need the Lord? Anybody? All have sinned. Really, we don't need to go any farther than that. Now, we could run all through Romans, couldn't we? We could run all over that, but all of us have sinned. The wages of sin is death. And it isn't just being stuck in a box and put in the ground and dying and rotting. It's more than that. You got to understand that it's far more than that. So we need to make sure that we agree with God, what God says, that people need the Lord. Christ came to do what? He said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ was born in that cradle, in that cradle. Yeah. In that manger. He was born there. That was his cradle. He was born there. And it's interesting that there is something to be said about the clothes that he was wrapped up with are the clothes of a dead person. They wrap dead people up in those same kind of clothes. He was born to die. All of us are born to die. We're all going to at some point in our lives. But he was born to die for this world. He was born to die for all of us. And so we need to realize, and the people need the Lord. Christ came to save, and Christ left us with a job. Go and tell the nations. Go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. Go and give the glad tidings. Romans 10. As you look at Romans, I talked about that, 13, 14, and 15, talking about how can we go unless... Romans 10. Boy, oh boy. I sometimes think that I have these verses all committed to my memory. For verse 13, Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him and... whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I am so thankful for people that came to me in my unsaved time and said to me, I had a bus driver, Ernie Hughes, was the pastor. His part-time job was school bus driver. His full-time job was pastor of Sugar Creek Baptist Church, and he invited me to church. I was a little southern boy who moved from Hardeeville, South Carolina to Frametown, West Virginia, and he kept inviting me to church. Well, I had gone to some churches, and I told you about some of those charismatic holy roller things, and I didn't really want any part of church anymore. And he convinced me, because of his gracious way of asking and his tender care for us kids as a bus driver, that he loved me enough that I should go do that. And I just remember going there and hearing the word of God and knowing that there was something about it that was different, but I guess it just didn't get in the head, because it was several years later before I finally realized, why didn't I accept it back then when I was that fifth grader? Why didn't I come to know Christ? Look at all of the things that I would maybe not have done. Possibly. I don't know that. Maybe I would have fallen into them anyway. But maybe I wouldn't have done those things. But we need to agree. And then pray. P. Pray for opportunities to build relationships. How many relationships do you have with people that are born again? You have brothers and sisters, mother, father, uncle, cousin, grandma, grandpa. Do you have a lot of those relationships? Is that, I have a couple of friends that say to me, I did not, until I graduated from high school, I knew no one who did not profess to be a Christian. Not a single person. My mom, my dad, all of my kids, uncles, aunts, cousins, grandma, grandpa, both sides of the family, all Christian. Everything we did, everywhere we went, was all Christian. And that would be great. Well, one day it's going to be that way for us in heaven. That's the only people that are going to be around. Sadly enough, everybody there will be believers, and everybody in the other place will be believers, to the extent that, boy, I really messed up. I shouldn't be. Well, you should be here because you chose that place. But pray for opportunities to build those relationships. The other night, my wife says to me, she said, I'd like to have stromboli. Well, I'm not going to make her stromboli. I like to cook, but that's just a little, you know, throwing that bread in the air and all of that. I just don't do that well. And she said to me, I want some stromboli. So there's a Fox's Pizza Den near us, and they make wonderful stromboli. And I go in, and I walked up to the counter, the young lady there, and I bent over, and I said, I'll take stromboli. I want two large. I want one deluxe, and then I'm going to do a custom stromboli. I'm going to build this thing, you know. Well, I can't do large. And I said, okay, then how about medium? She said, medium will be fine. She wrote down STR, period. And then she starts putting in my custom. She's over making pizza, 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 pizza. And I kept thinking, I don't think she's ever going to make my stromboli. And then she picks up these two pizza boxes and walks over and lays them in front of me. And I said, do you know what I ordered? Yeah, two medium pizzas. I said, no, ma'am, I ordered stromboli. She said a few words that I won't repeat. And I said, look, it's fine. She said, no, I'm going to make your stromboli. I said, no, you're not. It's okay. She said, well, I've taken way too long and you're probably impatient. I said, no, ma'am, I don't. Now, the thing, what I'm trying to say is, there would have been a point in my life when I would have said, honey, make it right. Read my lips. I would have gotten angry. But part of the reason is because I've told her that I'm a Christian. I've told her that I'm praying for her. I want her to know that I can handle that situation. Now, I've also got to go home and hand my wife pizza and say, honey, it ain't Stromboli. What? No, she was just fine. We ate the pizza. We enjoyed it. But the point is, now she ended up giving me half price and all of that, but I said to her, I said, look, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. It happens on occasion. But I said, I did say Stromboli, and you actually wrote down STR. She's like, oh, that's even worse. I said, but listen, I want you to know you've talked here about how bad your job is and how much you hate it and how you wish this and that and the other. I said, you need to pay a little more attention to this rather than that. All of us have had days and weeks and months and years of jobs that we did or didn't like. But I can tell you this, as a Christian, I can tell you that the person that you work for, and you're not a Christian, but I said, as a Christian, I realize that the person that I work for needs to know that I come to work not for them and not for the customer, but for Jesus Christ. And I said, as long as I live, I want it to be about Jesus Christ. And I won't tell you, I will not stand here. Don't talk to my wife after the service. All right? Because she's seen me. Are you kidding me? Can you make any bigger a mistake? And my wife would be like, come on, let's go. What a testimony. I mean, am I going to win them to the Lord? I'm going to have to pray that someone else comes and wins them to the Lord. But anyway, pray for opportunities to build relationships. I had been praying about that, and I could have said to that girl, no, you go ahead and fix me two more. I'll wait another 28 minutes or whatever it takes. But instead, I just thought, maybe this is an opportunity right now where I can use this to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. You know, one of these days I'm going to get these little things that people have in their Bibles and separate all those little things out. But instead, I just page and page and page. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue in prayer. How many times are we told to continue in prayer? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers. Pray without ceasing. I had a lady in church at Sugar Creek Baptist Church that used to always quote that. Pray without ceasing. I'll never forget that verse. Pray without ceasing. She said that all the time. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This isn't the only place that we are told to pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now again, that's us praying for somebody else, but I need to be praying for me. Pray that I am able, in Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul says again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. And I'll shorten that I may preach boldly, that I may speak boldly. When the apostles would go to the Lord and pray during the rough times of persecutions, they didn't do what David did and said, kill all of my enemies. They said, Lord, you know our enemies. We want to see our enemies come to Christ. Give us boldness to preach the gospel. And we need to be praying for that. And we need to be saying, Lord, train me, teach me, help me to be bold in these ways. Practice. We need to be practicing some of these things. I'm going to talk about a lot of things here in a short time, but practice in front of a mirror. Anybody ever remember in school doing a speech? I remember. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of it. I remember going through that whole thing. And I remember making my voice stronger and, you know, doing it. My teacher, my wife still wants to kick me for this. Our teacher, after I gave that speech, gave me an A++++. I had never had an A in that class, much less a +++. And she said, because your voice is so beautiful, you were made for this and that and the other. I've been told I have a voice for radio and a face to match. And so, but we need to practice. Why? Here's what we should do. Just let me help you with this just a little bit. Practice with someone else in mind. I'm going to use that often, but practice. Go in front of that mirror and say that I'm thinking of John Smith. And John Smith is my, I know several John Smiths, but that name, you know, it's easy. John Smith, John Doe, whoever. I'm thinking of this person, and Lord, I want to practice because I want to teach them what I understand about their need for salvation. I want them to know. So I go in front of the mirror and make sure nobody else is watching or filming you, because this will get very embarrassing. Or find a friend that you know wants to do the same thing and say, let's get together and let's interact and let's play the devil's advocate, as it were, and let's talk through a situation with my friend. You will be my friend and I'll be talking to you, and you try to trip me up on some of the things. All right? And then we will switch, and we will switch roles and do something different. How many of us know our gifts? How many of you sitting right here know at least, now maybe you have more than one gift, but how many of you know the gift or a gift that God has given you? You know it? Good. It's important that we do. We can find that Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. We can find that, a lot of those, and we can put that into practice to see, is that my gift? Is that the way God has gifted me? And use that. Now again, God sometimes will use our weaknesses. God wants us to realize that we are weak and frail individuals, and sometimes He will use that and only that. But other times, God will let you use that strength. And I talk to people very easily. My one daughter, Rachel, who's the China girl, she, and I still have an answer for you, Steve. One of these days you and I will talk and I'll give you that answer that you asked me about. She's in Dongguan City, and she's here in the States now with us. But where was I going with Rachel? Rachel used to say to me, I would walk up and I would say hey to people. We're just walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm fine. How about you? I'm great. And walk on. And she'd say, Daddy, do we know them? Not yet, honey. Not yet. But we might. And at the time, I was only doing it because that's just the way I'm made. But nowadays, I do it more because I'm a Christian and I want those people to see that this is the way Christians should be. Now, not all of us can do that. Not all of us can walk up and down the street. Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. And I've gotten better at it over the years, but practice. Now, another thing, when we practice this with people, okay? Practice this with people. What is your strong point? How many of you love to read? I will not raise my hand because I have to be forced with the arms behind my back and pushed and prodded. I have to really want to read. And when I took biblical counseling, I had to read a lot of Jay Adams and Wayne Mack and Paulison, and I don't even know all the people that I had to read. And I would say, how much do we have to read? Three chapters. But you can read it all if you want. I'll read three chapters. Matter of fact, if I knew I could cut the third chapter short, I wouldn't read the whole, if I could answer the question, you know. I'm not big on reading. Do you know people that are unsaved that love to read? Now, in this book, Evangelism for the Faint-Hearted, I recommend you can get a hold of it, get some copies for the church, whatever, but read it, and there's some things in there that he says that's so interesting, and I won't be able to put it all the same way he does. But he even took doing some work in a college, university, and a young guy comes to him and says, here, you read this book on philosophy, I'll read the Bible. And he said, man, that was tough. He said, I found out a lot of what made him think, what made him tick, and that helped. So when I tell you this, I want you to be very careful not to get into something that will lead you away from the Word of God. All right? Be very careful. If you're going to read something like that, you let folks know, pray for me that I'm doing this. And if you aren't strong in the faith, don't jump into some of that stuff. But this guy has been doing this for a very long time. But use those things. Now, we can talk to somebody on that very, what is the word that I'm looking for? That very surface, you know. Sometimes, someone told me one time, Cecil, you are an inch thick and a mile wide. I said, well, thank you, I think. He said, you have no substance whatsoever. And he said, that's not all bad. Now, this was a co-worker of mine. He was Roman Catholic. And he said, that's not all bad, but I recommend you get some substance about you. I remember that so well. Lindsay Abraham was my co-worker's name. Often wonder what happened to Lindsay. I would love to witness to him again. I used to many years ago. But we can talk on that level, can't we? How's the weather? How's your job? Did anybody watch the football game last night? Mike Brunk is so upset today. And I hate that for him. I really wanted him to be happy, but the Ravens got clobbered anyway. But we can talk about those things, but can we turn those things from that surface talk to something more? That's where we need to use our strengths. And even at times use our weaknesses. Well, I don't know about that part of physics. Explain that law of physics to me. I don't know anything about physics, but explain that to me. And maybe that's where you want to go with that. But ask them, well, read that from whatever. And so, again, I'm just thinking of, we move from that. Hobbies. How many of you have a hobby? Anybody have a hobby? I have a hobby. And I always thought one day I'd get to play it with Tiger Woods. I'm lying. I'm a terrible golfer, but I love to play. It's so expensive. I'm glad they don't charge you by the stroke, because I would really be in trouble. But you see this, sports, history, science, all of these things. And even some of those things we don't talk about. Sex. I mean, those other things that you would open a conversation with someone, maybe because they're struggling in some area. They have a felt need. Now, not all of our felt needs are our real needs. You understand where I'm coming from? A lot of times we have a felt need. This is what I think I need. This is what I feel like I need. And we can use those things to bring someone into that deeper relationship. And so, again, we need to practice with someone, practice in front of the mirror, but try to do this prayerfully with someone on your mind. All right? So that, can you imagine the Apostle Paul when he said that I pray always for you? I know that in so many cases he's praying for believers, but how many of those had been on his prayer list for years maybe before they became believers? That he prayed for that opportunity to sit in a prison and talk with them. Again, he didn't say, whenever I'm in prison, Lord, I don't think. He may have. But again, I'm just thinking from the standpoint that he put those things into practice. I used to practice my sermons driving a tractor trailer. I cannot imagine how many people thought that I was Looney Tunes. Not just from the way I drove, but the fact that I'm driving down the road and I'm saying, you need to listen to me. You need to pay. Because, you know, I thought that was the way to preach. Whoever was teaching me was hellfire and brimstone. And I'm driving down the road and be like, hey, how you doing? I know I looked weird to you right then. But anyway, then we need to do something that I don't do well. My father told me this. I used to get write-ups in my school from teachers. You know where I'm going. My grandmother used to say to me, you know why the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth? C-E? I went by C-E. No, Grandma, why? To stop talking and listen. And really, it's an application that we need to make. How many times, and just recently, I got a free oil change because I listened. Now, you may not get that. But my oil change is $49.50 for my Dodge Caravan. And I go to this guy, and he is ranting and raving and throwing things, and he's using foul language. And I sat there, you know, and just worked on my... I was reading something and looking at some things. I do read on occasion. Looking at some things on my phone, and I'm praying, Lord, just make it possible that at some point here, he'll stop, and we'll be able to talk. And then he looked at me and he's like, well, Cecil, you're a preacher. Tell me what I should do. I said, I'm glad you asked. I said, look, I am not going to tell you exactly what you should do in all of those things with the problems with women that you're having and your kids and your job and your employees, because he owns the oil, the mechanics, the garage is what I'm trying to say that I go to. I said, I'm not going to give you a long thing about that, but I will say this. One thing you need to do is realize that you're not the only person that goes through these things. You're not the only person that's ever suffered. You're not the only man that's ever had trouble with a woman. And women have trouble with men just as much. So I want you to understand. And if you think you can understand a woman, I've got another thing to tell you. But again, I mean, my wife understands me 10,000 times better than I understand her. Probably most husbands could say that about their wives. I still struggle at times thinking, I wonder if she would want this or like this. At 41 years, you'd think I would know by now. But anyway, I just said to him, I said, but here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. You feel like a punching bag right now. You feel like you're getting beaten. You feel like you're getting always, everybody is against you. Why don't you just for one day say that I will be their punching bag? Just today. Today, I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to holler. I'm not going to use foul language. I am going to be the punching bag. And all I did was listen to him. And it just, all I could hear was, I, me, my. And all I wanted to get him to do was just step back from that personal worship, that self-worship, and for him to look and see that that's really what we do. All the problems that me and my wife have is somebody's fault in the family. Mine, usually. I know that, and yet, you know. Anyway, listen, we've heard it before about the one mouth and the two ears. We learn a lot from listening. And I'm so thankful that I was able to do that. Something else we need to do is do some information gathering. I learned this in our biblical counseling course. We have halo information, the way they've got their arms crossed. Are they tapping their foot? Is their head wiggling? Are they looking at you like, you know, I don't, or there's something about that person, the way they are acting, that at some point you may have to decide they've heard enough from me today. I'm listening. I'm looking. I'm gathering information. I want them to come to know Christ as personal Savior, but I cannot knock them to the ground, put my foot on their chest, and force feed the Scripture to them. I could, but a lot of good it would do. I mean, what good is that going to do? And so I might need to step back and just say, you know something? I'm giving you all, hey, did you watch that football game last night? I digress. It's okay. We have time. If we don't have time, God has all the time in the world. And I sometimes have thought to myself whenever I really wanted to see someone come to Christ, and I was praying about it, and I was trying to be used, and they just wouldn't do it. And I just kept thinking, but I'm going to die, or they're going to die, and it's not going to happen. And then I forget that we have a sovereign God. If that is one of his, he's going to get them. He hadn't lost anything yet, and he never will. And so we need to listen. And then yield. Why we need to yield. Why stands for yield. Now, obviously, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. But do you know who I say we need to yield to more? And please don't throw things at me. I realize that our yielding has to be to the Holy Spirit, period, plain and simple. It has to be yielding to the Godhead, letting Him work in us. But as you get on an interstate, there's a sign that isn't there, but it's intended. That sign is, as you pull onto that interstate and traffic is coming this way, you are to yield to them. I know I've given you that answer, but you need to yield to them. I need to yield to other people. I need to say, you know something? Go right ahead. I disagree with everything you're saying. I have a problem with every word that comes out of your mouth, but you're not going to hear that today because I want to hear what makes you tick. I want to gather this information. I want to know you better. And how am I going to know you better? We can do surface talk. We can just talk about those things that don't really mean anything, but then I can bring in personal talk. I can actually start to ask them, how do you feel? How did that particular thing make you feel? And then maybe we'll bring them into religious talk. And so that's what a lot of people think that this is all about, is just another religion. We have to get them from the religious talk to something else. We need to get them to spiritual or to biblical talk. We need to get them in the Word of God. And if we never see them, if we never work to get them into the Word of God, then we are not going to be used properly. God may use someone else. But move from that surface, that inch thick and a mile wide to something that has a lot more substance. Because our relationships with substance, people look at us, they may first think that's the weirdest human being I've ever known. But they love me. And because they love me, I want to be around them. I want to spend time with them. And then let God take care of that other part. Because I will never save a soul. I haven't yet and I never will. But what I might do is be used of the Holy Spirit, putting these things into practice, agree, pray, practice, listen, and yield. If I do that and I make proper application, then God may use me in a way that's beyond my understanding, beyond my belief. And He may use you as well. And I hope He is using you now. If not, begin to put these things into practice. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the privilege of being able to be here and spend this time, even the last 3 weeks, to be able to spend this time with these folks. And Father, I pray that each of us have had, by Your Holy Spirit, have had someone brought to our mind, maybe more than one person, that we can now pray for. We can begin to work very deliberately in getting them in the Word of God. Father, I pray that as You work in that, we will work as well and allow You to work in us and through us. Again, Father, I pray for that soul that's here that's never accepted Jesus Christ, that they would come to know You today before it's too late. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.